Right. Our reading this morning, you will probably not be surprised to hear, is continuing through the book of Acts. We have reached Acts chapter 4. And Peter and John have been detained, questioned, and then released. And this is what happens next. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. In 1998, I had a day off work. Not the last time that it's happened, but I did. It was a midweek. It was an opportunity to be out of work when everyone else was at work. So I was quite excited about this. I lived in London at the time. So I thought I would go up into town and wander around the shops. It wouldn't be that busy because there'd be lots of people at work. And so I could actually walk up and down Oxford Street without being crushed every 2 seconds. So I got the bus up to the Elephant and Castle, and then I got onto the tube and went up to Oxford Street. Well, as is the way, I got a bit distracted, wandered around a bit more than I'd hoped, and arrived back at the Elephant and Castle a little bit later than expected. It was a little bit busier, and I wandered out of the tube to get my bus outside the Elephant. And as I wandered out of the tube, there was a crowd of people on the streets. And I thought, oh, this is a little bit odd. I know I'm a bit late, but you know, it's not normally this busy. And so I pushed through the crowd and I got to my bus stop, which happened to be in the middle of the crowd for some reason, and waited. And as I waited, the crowd got bigger and bigger and bigger. And then suddenly, the crowd surged forward towards the Elephant. Didn't seem a particularly friendly crowd either. People were shouting, seeming quite angry, pushing each other. And then as I was standing there, getting a little bit worried, they started throwing things. Bottles, pipes, things like that. At which point, I was scared. And straight away I was into the, oh Lord, 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 please, please save me, Lord. Oh please, Lord, don't let me die, don't let me, please, Lord, Lord. And I started to walk anywhere, how to get out of this crowd. But the crowd was pushing me forward. Shouting, abuse, throwing things. Apparently there was people coming out of the Elephant that they didn't like. Eventually, in my desperate prayers, Father, 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 please help me, please help me, I got back to the train station and went up onto the overground train. Lord, 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 please let me get home safe. Please let me get home safe. Bottles were thrown over the bridge onto the railway line. People were still shouting. Sirens were going. And eventually I got on the train. Still praying, Father, 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 please, Lord, 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 Lord. Eventually I got home and I switched on the news, thought, well, something must be on. And realised, or suddenly remembered as well, that I had got to the Elephant on the day that the Stephen Lawrence inquiry was concluding. The 5 suspects who 10 years before had been accused of murdering the black teenager Stephen Lawrence happened to be walking out of the Elephant as I was waiting for my bus. People hadn't liked it, so they'd thrown things. There'd been violence. Some people had got injured. And I'd got away. But then I started to think about how I'd reacted. My desperate prayers for for help. And it reminded me of an article that I read, which said that most people, at some point during their life, will be in a situation that is out of their control, which drives them to pray. Desperate prayers. Father, Father, Lord, Lord, please, please. Desperate prayers to be saved. Most people, when backed into a corner, would resort to finally crying out to help. And whether this is praying to God or praying to some unseen force, the article said that at some point or other in our lives, human beings will respond by crying out, by asking for assistance for something bigger than themselves. They will voice their fears and they will want help. Or to put it more concisely, at some point or other, people will pray. And Christians, I thought, well, Christians are especially good at crying out for help when in desperate need, when a crisis comes about, when danger is prevalent and hope seems far away. Christians are good at those prayers. I proved it by being at the Elephant and crying out, Lord, Lord, Father, Father, please, please, anything. Please save me. Please help me. Just this once. Please make life better. Christians are well rehearsed at prayers like that. And even in a small crisis, what we might class as small, we're quite good at shouting out our prayers. Oh, Lord, help me find my keys. Small prayers like that. Oh, Father, Father, please let me find a parking space. This road is quite busy. Oh, oh, Lord Jesus, help me get there on time. May all the lights be green, Lord. We cry out these prayers. As Christians, we're good at finding a pathway to God when things are grim. We're good at throwing up prayers in a crisis or a small problem. And so here in Acts chapter 4, as we progress in our journey with the disciples, it's not surprising, given the nature of humanity, that eventually we find them too coming to God before him, asking for his help in this passage. I mean, here they are in Jerusalem, which is the stronghold of Judaism. And so far, to be fair, in the book of Acts, there has been much success as we've gone through it. The disciples have encountered the Holy Spirit, very successful. They've spoken boldly about Jesus. And because they've spoken boldly, they've seen over 3,000 people join their ranks. So they've started small churches. And they've performed signs and wonders. They've healed a lame beggar at the temple gate called Beautiful. So far, things have gone swimmingly. But now, in Acts chapter 4, after healing the lame beggar and preaching the good news about Jesus, the disciples finally encounter some opposition. They finally come up against those who don't like what is happening. They finally butt heads with the Jewish authorities, the priests, the captain of the temple guard, and the Sadducees, the powerhouse, if you like, of the Jewish religious, political, and community life. And almost before they know what's happening, Peter and John, having healed the lame beggar, preached the good news about Jesus, and seen thousands more come to respond to their message, are suddenly taken by the Jewish authorities and thrown into jail. Without explanation, without prior warning, they're just taken and thrown into jail and kept there overnight. And then when morning comes, instead of being released, as maybe they might expect, they're brought out to face an even higher authority, that of Annas and Caiaphas and the other people of the high priest's family, the top of the tree. In other words, having performed signs and wonders, seen lives changed and watched churches spring up all over the place, Peter and John are taken and placed before their opposite number, if you like, those who control the Jewish world. They're taken there to face the consequences. And, you know, it's not like Annas and Caiaphas just wanted to meet with Peter and John. You know, it's not like they just wanted to have a nice chat, find out how their mission was going compared to our mission, you know. give them a little bit of a warning about being too forceful. It's not like they just wanted to meet with Peter and John. I mean, this is Annas and Caiaphas, the high priests. Remember their names? Those who opposed Jesus. Those who hated the idea of a new Messiah. Those who instigated Jesus' death. This is Annas and Caiaphas, the very same who bought Judas to betray his Lord with silver coins. They didn't just want a nice chat with Peter and John, a cup of tea, a bit of honest discussion. They wanted to end Christianity. They wanted to banish the disciples. They wanted to get rid of any connection there was with Jesus Christ. And so when Peter and John are brought before them, at the beginning of chapter 4, the disciples are in no doubt that they have a very serious problem. This is not just a little hiccup in the mission of spreading the word of Jesus. They are being questioned, and they are being threatened, and they are being commanded never to speak or to teach at all in the name of Jesus Christ ever again. This is serious trouble for a small group in a hostile environment. And so it's no wonder that when they're finally released from the grip of the authorities without punishment, that Peter and John go back to the other believers, and the first thing they do is get together and pray. The first thing they do is all gather together and cry out to God. I mean, that's what I would have been doing after I'd packed my bags and got everything ready to leave, run away. That's what I'd be doing. I'd been down on my knees. Lord, please, please save me. I'd have been pacing. Oh God, oh God, oh Father, please. I'd have been weeping. Lord, make this better. I must admit, I'm given to the dramatics, you might have gathered. But you know, I'd have been there, saying any prayer that I knew to make this problem go away, to make my life better. And yet here in this passage today that we've just read, when the disciples come before God to pray, their prayers are very different. Their prayers are very different from that. Because having faced the Jewish authorities, and having realized that the same men who brought Jesus to trial are now opposed to them, instead of throwing themselves at the feet of God and crying out for help, the disciples step back and raise their voices together and start to go through their Christian history. Or if you like, they start to work through the Bible. I mean, look, they start by saying, Sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. They say, God, Sovereign Lord, you're the creator. You created the heavens. You created the earth. You created everything that we see around us. Way back, before the beginning of time, you were. And you created everything. The disciples kneel before God when faced with opposition, and they start by going back to the beginning of time, praising God. And then they say, but not only did you create, Lord, you also spoke. You spoke by your Holy Spirit. You spoke to us, your people, through Scripture, through your servant David. Long ago, you spoke about the Messiah, about the chosen one. The one the nations would rage against, the one the peoples would plot against, the one the rulers would come together against. You did not only create, Lord, and then leave, but you spoke about Jesus Christ. And then, as if that's not enough, the disciples continue. And not only did you create and speak, but you also acted, Lord. You also acted. You also sent your son, Jesus, into our world to be plotted against, to be raged against, to be conspired against, so that your plans might be accomplished. You see, these disciples, when facing the opposition of those around them raise their voices together, not in a plea for help, but to remember their history in prayer, the history of God, their creator, their redeemer, their saviour. And then when they've remembered all this, the plans of God from the beginning of time, they finally get around to asking God for help. So, Lord, they say, now that we have remembered what you have done, help us to be bold. Help us to perform signs and wonders. Help us to live as Jesus lived, even in these difficult circumstances, so that his name might be glorified. Seems an odd prayer to pray when you just need help. But you see, the thing is, when faced with the possibility of persecution, the disciples aren't satisfied with just running to God and asking him to take away their problems. Instead, they come to God to remind themselves of their history, to remind themselves of who they are, so that in the face of opposition, they would be able to remain true to their calling. They would be able to remain true to the God who had called them to live for him. Or in other words, when faced with the voices of opposition that were all around them, the disciples chose to come and listen to the voice of God so that they would have the strength to continue to follow him. It reminds me of a story that's well known and a little parable that people tell about two Americans. One is a Native American and one is an American that lives in the city among all the hustle and bustle. And the Native American comes and visits his friend in the city one weekend. And they're walking along, noise of the cars and the people and all the noise around them. And suddenly the Native American stops in all this hustle and bustle and he says, "I can hear a cricket. I can hear a cricket." And his friend goes, "No, you can't. Don't be ridiculous. There's horns going. Are you sure it's not someone with some funny noise-making thing?" He goes, "No, I can hear a cricket." His friend goes, "Well, you must be mad. Or you've got super hearing." He goes, "No, I haven't. Look." And he walks over into a small bit of grass by the side of the pavement. And he rustles through and he points. And there, sure as you like, is a cricket sitting there, making a tiny noise. And his friend says, "How did you do that? Are you magic or something?" He goes, "No." He says, "It all depends. You know what's important to you, what you listen out to." And his friend went, "Well, I don't know what you mean." He said, "Listen, watch." And he got out some coins from his pocket. And among all the hustle and bustle and the noise and the cars, he dropped some coins on the floor. Immediately, everyone stopped, turned around to see where the noise of the coins had come from. And the Native American turned to his friend and he said, "You can hear what is important to you because you're listening out for what you want to hear." And you see, here in the book of Acts, when the disciples were faced with opposition, they didn't listen to that opposition. They listened to what was important to them. They went back to be together and to listen to their history, to listen to their God, to listen to what was important, so that when faced with threats and Jewish commands and possible punishment from the authorities, as the people of God, they didn't just react to what was going on, run away and shout for help. But instead, they were able to act consistently as the people of God, no matter what situation was facing them. And you know, this would prove to be so important throughout their lives, throughout the book of Acts, throughout all we read of imprisonments and hiding and scattered churches and deaths and illnesses and shipwrecks and arguments and splits and disappointments. It was this commitment to come back to God, to keep listening to his story, to keep placing their lives in his hands, no matter what happened, that enabled them to be the people of God, walking in the footsteps of Jesus, whatever situation came up against them. And you know, today, as the people of God ourselves, which I say a lot because it's true, you know, we too need to do the same. This is just as important a thing to do. Because, you know, as the people of God today, we too have a history, don't we? We too have a history of God as our creator, our redeemer, our saviour. We've already gone through it in the communion and the worship beforehand. We too have a history of God who has gone through time, holding us in his hands right up to this very day. A history which God wants to remind us of again and again and again. And you know, in our increasingly hostile world, whether it be financially, physically, emotionally, spiritually, in our increasing hostile world, it's vital that we come to him, not just to ask him for help when we're in trouble, but to listen to this history, to come back to where we have come from, and to hear what God has to say to us in our situation, to remind ourselves of who we are. Otherwise, we're in danger of just getting blown around and reacting to what goes on. Do you know, just before we finish, I'll tell you about our cat. Because we have a cat, and I like my cat. You know, she's my little baby. Anyway, forget that. Georgia, our cat. We had Georgia when she was 1 year old. She's now three. And for a year of her life, she was indoors because we were in London. She was in a flat. So she didn't go out because we lived on a main road. She stayed inside. And since we've been here, we've let her out, which has been a very exciting experience if you have a cat. We let her out and she goes into the garden. And she's very excited by everything that is around. But she loves the birds. Problem is, she gets a little distracted. So you see her creeping across the grass. Bird, bird, bird. Oh, butterfly. Bird, bird, bird. Oh, itchy ear. Just a bit of a scratch there. Bird, bird. Oh, food? Was that food? Food? Bird, bird. Oh, I'll just have a bit of a wash. Bird, bird. Oh, I'll settle in this bit of grass. It's quite nice. Distracted. Every 2 minutes. She's walking along, distracted by anything. Bee, butterfly, shout from next door, gunfire. I don't think we get much of that around here. Anything distracts her. She's easily distracted. And it's fun. Simon and I watch her. This is our life. We watch our cat outside, distracted by many things. And it's fairly amusing. But it made me think, as people of God today, we're in the same danger as Georgia, in a way. The danger of getting distracted so that we no longer live purposefully as God's people, being true to him and to ourselves in whatever situation we face, keeping our focus on him. But instead, we're blown around by anything that comes past us, by things that affect our lives. So that we only ever call out to God when we're in trouble. Help me, Lord. Father, please. Make things better. And you know, I'm not saying it's wrong to desperately cry out to God. You know, I do it every week when preparing my sermon and I'm in deep trouble. But you know, it's not wrong to cry out. But what I am saying is, as God's people, this cannot be what our Christian lives consist of. Little prayers every now and again to get us out of situations. Because if we want to be true to our calling, if we want to be consistent, if we want to be people who are different, if we want our lives to stand out and be solid in a world that is moving, then we need to take our cue from the disciples, those who were in danger for their very lives. We need to come together before God and listen to our history and listen to his story and listen to his voice again and again and again, so that when we face opposition or despair or pain or a small problem, will be able to stand firm and remain true to the God who always remains true to us. Let's pray together. Father, I want to thank you that you have not just reached out to us in the middle of a void and brought us to yourself, and so we have no roots, we have no history, we have nothing to cling on to. But that you have brought us to yourself within a history, your history, of a God who is faithful, of a God who is creator, of a God who is redeemer. Lord, I thank you that you have rescued us, brought us out of an ever-changing, fragile situation, and placed us in a solid, firm foundation of you. And Lord, I thank you that when we cry out in desperation, our short little prayers, you hear us and you help us. I thank you that you're interested in that. But I do ask, Lord, that you would help us to be people who are buried deep into you, not just coming to you in desperation, but coming to you again and again to listen to what you have to say to us, to listen to what you have done in the past, and to listen to what you want to do today. Help us to be people who are solid and consistent, full of your life and energy, so that whatever we face, Lord, we would be able to face it with you by our side and walk through it, holding on to you. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.